We're going to have the Secretary of State and one of her fine officers, and with the courtesy to the Secretary of State, if the Secretary of State's office would like to be first up, we would be very happy. You didn't sign up, Ray. Are you going to get in there anyway? You just moral support this morning?
You know how frightening it is to be in front of a legislative committee, and he's there as my support.
Well, you were up here looking down in the time.
It feels very different from this side. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Barbara Roberts, Secretary of State of Oregon, and I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 2211. First of all, I'd like to start out by thanking the committee for your very prompt action and the successful forepassage of House Bill 2065 and 2210 that went through this committee and through the House already. I think that's some kind of a record in terms of legislative action. I think if you remember both of those bills, you know that they could probably be categorized in a category we always hesitate to use in the legislative process, and that's the one called housekeeping bills. But I think both of those bills did fall to some degree into that category. The bill that's before you today, 2211, is not a housekeeping bill. It is, in fact, a policy question, and I think in many respects, in terms of elections, a major policy question bill. It does include within the contents of the bill some housekeeping language, but the real policy question in the bill is the election of special district boards. And that includes school boards and the number of special district boards like water and rural fire district and the multitude of other 27 different kinds of boards that exist in Oregon. Those boards currently...
Is an ESD, would that be considered in the same way?
Yes, thank yes. You. There are about 4,500 elected Oregonians that serve on some kind of special district board in the state of Oregon, so it does touch a lot of elected officials in the state. House Bill 2211 would change the election of those district board members from annual elections every March in the case of schools, and then place those elections on the third Tuesday in May in odd-numbered years only. On the third Tuesday in May, on odd-numbered years, citizens would elect school board members for their schools, their cemetery districts, their irrigation districts, community college boards, those kinds of districts. On the third Tuesday in May, in even-numbered years, citizens would nominate legislators, county commissioners, statewide office holders, and federal office holders. Oregon citizens would soon know that every May was the time that we elect new office holders in the state of Oregon. In special districts elections, this would keep voters much better informed and would stimulate, I believe, turnout. The fact that approximately half of the board would be running on every odd-numbered May would focus attention on the upcoming election. Currently, the annual school election for directors is held in March, and it attracts minimal attention. There may be, in fact, frequently is, only one board position up for election, and possibly no levy or money matters on that same March ballot. Fewer and fewer school districts are able to use that March ballot for levy issues and funding matters because by the time they make their decision to place something on the March ballot, they really don't have the figures from the state necessary to tell them what their budget's going to look like, so they're not really prepared to submit that budget at the March election. So you are then going to see a growing, I think, accumulation of districts that have only one board position up. I think what happens when that occurs is that, first of all, when your election includes only one school board member, it's very hard to publicize that election. It's unrealistically costly to taxpayers in that district to hold election for that purpose only. And quite frankly, I think it's irritating to lots of citizens to see that occur in districts around the state. The every other year in May format would save hundreds of thousands of dollars, would stimulate citizen awareness, and more easily accommodate a combination of both board and budget matters on the same ballot in districts around Oregon. So you might be asking, with all of those positive factors, why would anyone oppose a citizen service like House Bill 2211? Enter the Continuity Club. You will hear from them today if you haven't heard from them already. Their argument is that continuity is so important on school boards that it is impossible to have good government without the continuity of electing board members one or two at a time. It seems that no school district or community college could survive an election in which there could be, might possibly be, a majority turnover on that board. Good government would surely end if a five-member school board suddenly had three brand new members. Well, after almost 14 years as a school board member and a community college board member, I want to tell you that I think that attitude is elitist. Of course, the district would survive, and there would be good government, and sound policy would continue in that district. One does not have to be an experienced school board member or a member of a new majority group to make a major contribution or a major change on a board in this state. But more realistically, it would be extremely hard to see a majority turnover on a board, even if every single board position were up for election at a given time. And let me give you a couple of examples. During the 1983 special district elections in Oregon, there were 2,146 positions before the voters to be filled. 2,146. 1,304 of those positions were uncontested. 281 were filled by write-in because no candidate at all had filed, leaving only 561 positions out of 2,146 that were contested at all. And 1983 was not an unusual year. I'd say the real problem is not continuity, but in fact candidate recruitment and participation in the election process in Oregon. Almost all school board members seeking re-election are successful. Moving from March to May biennially won't change that fact. The Portland School Board, the Multnomah County Educational Service District, and the Portland Community College now elect biennially. Every 4 years, a majority of their board members are up for election. Every other year, almost a majority of their board members are up for election, and their continuity is, quite frankly, at risk. Every 2 years, the entire Oregon House of Representatives is up for election, and your continuity is certainly at risk. The same is true of Congress and your city council and your county commission. The same is true of special districts that are not school districts all over the state of Oregon. Only school districts, with the exception of the three I named to you, are handled in this very different, special way in terms of the concerns about continuity. There's another factor that you won't see in the bill, but I think is worth mentioning. One of the problems that seems to be growing in Oregon is the problem of recall of board members, particularly school board members across the state. Almost the majority of all recalls occur at the school board level. One of the things that this bill does is to say to citizens who are unhappy with their local board, there is an opportunity every other year to make a major change on that board if you choose to do it and if you're willing to work hard enough. Because every other year, a majority or close to majority of that board is up for election. So instead of going to the recall effort, you might be as well to wait to make major policy changes in terms of people on that board if you attempted to do it in a regular year. And my sense is that would discourage to some degree the recall movement because voters are frustrated when they're unhappy with their boards because they can only have one election at a time or two members at a time and can't change the basic complexion of that board. I don't think it would change a great deal, but I think it might change the citizen attitude about the use of a recall versus the use of some other format, which would be the normal every other year in May format. I think the end product is we're looking for something that will encourage voters to participate in elections, where we can give them some kind of a format that they know is coming year after year after year. And we have changed elections in the state in so many different ways in terms of special elections. Last year, the legislature went to the March election for schools in every year, March, regardless of what else occurred at that point in time. I opposed that bill because of my concerns about cost and lack of participation. This bill that you have before you, I think, answers most of the concerns that voters are feeling. Can we do it well for less? Can we encourage participation? can we look at the school board in the same way we look at every other government body in the state of Oregon? And at this point in time, the only districts that are in a situation that allows them to elect board members every single year are our school districts. So if you looked at the school districts and community colleges and said, gee, the problem with that is they will lose continuity, then you would have to look at then the legislature and county commissions and city councils and irrigation districts and soil and water and conservation districts all over the state who have managed to operate on a biennial basis for many years and done it successfully and done it with continuity. So I think the real question today is, here is an opportunity to place those districts, schools and community colleges, in the format that we place all other districts in the state. I think it's a step that Oregon voters would applaud. I think it's a way to get at the growing problem of special district participation and to really encourage, I think, participation by more candidates, because they'll be aware an election is coming, there'll be several board positions up, and those who choose to run will be much more aware that it's time to consider filing for their local school board if they want to participate as a candidate. And I think it answers a number of those concerns in one piece of legislation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. May I ask, I'll start out, I'm sure there's a lot of questions. This bill, I read it over quickly, makes no reference to the need to advertise the date and purpose of the election. Do you feel that's answered in the present law?
It's in another section of the law, Mr. Chair.
Okay. The turnout generally is 12 to 14%. You feel that's that would make a change, this bill would make a change in the number of people who turn out?
Well, it seems to me if you have one board position running and it's, let's say, uncontested, even contested, you're not going to get a lot of community activity. If you suddenly have three board positions up in a levy, people are going to be aware an election is coming. And also, if you knew in your community that every May on the third Tuesday there was an election for candidates year after year after year, 1 year it was special districts and the next year it was legislative and congressional and county commission, I think people would get very used to thinking of the third Tuesday in May as their election day for candidates. And I think anything that's regular makes us participate more actively because we know it's there and we're prepared and we know it's coming. So I think the combination of those two things would encourage participation.
You are aware that there is an attempt to change the primary date?
Well, I'm aware that there's a bill being introduced, and that's not unusual. I can't remember a legislative session in the last 20 years that such a bill has not been introduced in one format or another. And obviously, I think in any setting, if you make a major change in election dates, that you then reevaluate all kinds of things that are in the statutes dealing with other bodies of government. So obviously, if we changed our May primary date in Oregon, you would probably see a revision of this kind of legislation. But I think that's something we'd have to deal with when that happened. And having seen the bill introduced a number of sessions, I'm not expecting any major change this year in Oregon's May primary system.
Representative Jones.
Yes. Participation, you mentioned, did you say 12 to 14%?
I did.
But let me ask you, are those figures the figures that represent the March dates currently being used that were changed in the last session?
I don't know. I have not heard that figure used.
In our area in East County, and maybe I should have made a special reference, we get about 12-14% on a special election. It may be different in other parts of the county or other parts of the state, but I know out in East County, if you get 12-14% on a special election, it's about the average run.
Okay, I was just going to ask that question, Barbara, if you had information as to the participation March as compared to May. Anything of that?
I don't know if we have that available yet. Something we certainly could get to the committee if you'd like to have that.
Because one of the discussions being participation, I'd like to know where we are now so we look at what we're trying to change. The other question I have is the thinking is that we have just made changes in the election laws in terms of the dates for the schools. Would it be wise to leave it as it is to give them an opportunity for the voter to know currently what's happening and to give the schools a chance to leave it as it is today?
Well, the reason that this bill is before you was because we did get a lot of complaints from citizens, and during the time I was on the campaign trail this last year, I got a lot of complaints about the fact that that was going to be the situation that they would find themselves in, because a lot of districts, there were a lot of citizens around the state who would be happy if we had one election year, day to year. I don't think that's a solution. I think this is a way to move partway in that direction and aid the citizen in terms of that regularity of election process. I think it's unfortunate that the bill passed last session. I know there was a lot of support for it. I thought it was not a responsible way to answer elections for board members at the school district level. I was very concerned that many school districts were no longer able to use the March levy date and to put a board member up for election in March and then turn around in that same district and do a May levy election, which many, many districts in the state did. I think it's a very, very poor use of taxpayers' money, and I think it's the kind of thing that angers the voters when they just had an election in March, turn around and have another one in May. One of them had a levy on it, and one of them had a board member on it, and I just think that that's a real frustration to Oregon voters, and I heard a lot about that kind of thing when I was moving around statewide.
Everybody wants, let me go this side and then this side. Representative Miller.
Yes, Madam Secretary, you mentioned that this would save, I believe, hundreds of thousands of dollars. Do you have a more precise handle on what that?
Well, we have a figure that of about $400,000 that it would save in even numbered years in special elections, and that would be the March 82 election. Or the March election, and well, what we did was look at what happened in March 82, what happened with elections in March and May of 82, where they did both a base and a board election, and then the levy elections that occurred again in June. And if you had a combination where you would encourage your participation in that May election, it would save about $400,000 annually in even numbered years.
Annually or every 2 years?
Well, it's every 2 years, Ron. The basic saving would come because of the elimination of the one.
You said every year. I was looking at 800.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Yes. Could you just detail just briefly where those savings come from? Is that people who are associated with the counting and the sitting there all day and waiting, or is it more of the printing costs for each ballot, or just?
Anytime an election occurs in a special district, the operation of that election is charged back to that district. So the majority of it's the cost of that election in terms of the county billing back the special district for that election. So in what it costs the special district for that election in the billing process, that's where the majority of it exists.
Could you just give me some, I don't know if there's a percentage figure, but what are those costs that are billed back? I mean, is it personnel type stuff?
It's personnel, it's printing, it's all of the costs of setting up the ballot, voting booths, all of the things that are part of the county's operation of setting up. It's the combination of those things, and I can't tell you percentages. I could certainly find them out for you, Representative Miller, but they constitute
largely personnel service.
Well, printing is also a very large piece of any election cost.
Okay.
Are you through?
Yes, thank you.
Representative McCarty.
Madam Secretary, on page 2, line 31, provision for division of the district into zones, how does that affect Multnomah County, school district number 1?
It won't have any impact on their current situation, Representative McCarty. This deals with districts where zoning occurs or where a district decides to zone, but it would not change a district that was currently unzoned.
Unless they decided to zone.
If they decided to zone, part of the legislation that you see in this bill would impact them in terms of the decision of election of board members within those zones. But it would not create a change in any district that is currently not zoned.
I just don't see any out for them. If this is for the state, why wouldn't it oppose, pertain to them?
Well, it would pertain to them if they were a zoned district, except they're not a zoned district. Portland School Board is not currently a zoned district. They all run at large. It's an issue of some import right now in the state.
Okay.
with that district. But they are currently a district that is elected at large. And any district that currently elects at large, we are not making any change in that district's policy. It would take a change from the, on the part of that board and the electorate to change from a zoned to, from an unzoned district to a zoned district.
Are you through, Representative?
Yeah, sure.
I'll go to this side now. Representative Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Madam Secretary, I must editorialize. It's a delight to see you before us in your official capacity.
Thank you, Representative Joel.
Just a question out of curiosity. Before us, as you very well know, are actually several sales tax proposals. And at least in one of those proposals, there are some proposed changes in election laws. Would any of those have an effect on this proposed legislation?
Is that the ESD thing you were talking about?
No, the sales tax bill. The sales tax bill has several references, and I've read through them, not in detail, but certainly read through them in terms of election impacts. I can't think of a place that conflicts with this, but obviously that's one of the things we have to watch very carefully as that bill goes through the committee. We will be following the election sections on that to make sure that we don't have conflicts with current pieces of legislation that we're proposing, and if a conflict arises, we will be before the House Revenue or Senate Revenue Committee to deal with any what we consider to be conflicts that deal with that area.
But at least at this juncture, you do not see anything that would conflict with this.
No, they're basically dealing with funding elections as versus board elections, and this deals purely with the board area.
Thank you.
Representative Peterson.
Mr. Chair, Madam Secretary, you spoke earlier about talking to people around the state concerned about the various dates for elections. What kind of responses have you heard from different boards throughout the states? Is there any kind of support for this from special district boards or just from Multnomah County? Can you give me any sense of that?
2 years ago, when this bill was before the legislature, and it may have also been before the legislature 4 years ago, the special district association that includes the fire districts and the irrigation districts, all of those kinds of special districts, supported the legislation because for them, this is currently how they do it. Though they do it in a different month, they do it on a biennial basis. 2 years ago, the Oregon School Boards Association and Confederation of School Administrators opposed this bill, and maybe the community colleges did 2 years ago. Those are the only elected groups that are really intimately impacted by the biennial system. They are the only boards in the state that are not elected that way now, though Portland Community College and Portland School District and Multnomah ESD are elected on the biennial basis like all other special districts in the state. So they and OSBA and COSA did oppose the bill 2 years ago. I expect that they will do that again today.
Thank you.
You're right, because you're the only one supporting us to sign up. Further questions to the Secretary?
Good government is often lonely.
Wait a minute, I want to write that down. Representative Springer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to join the Chair and Representative Joel in extending a hearty congratulations and welcome to our Secretary of State, Barbara. And I know we all expect to see you often before this committee as we deal with a lot of important election issues.
No.
You may have touched upon this earlier, but do you see any relationship or impact on the vote-by-mail experiment that's been going on?
Well, I can't see it making any major change in that system. I mean, if vote by mail is used in a district, it would just simply be used on a May election date in preference to a March. The only thing it might do would be to encompass more than one district at the same time, because your fire district board and your school board and your irrigation district might be all on at the same time. So obviously it would be a little bit more economical than it would be to do a vote by mail for simply one district.
Thank you.
Further questions? And I just would like a clarification. I think I understand it, but in the bill, there's reference to three forms of educational districts: administrative school district, district boards, and local school districts. I like to get this separate. I think I understand what it means, but isn't the administrative school district the school board that deals with a combination of districts, all collected.
Which could be represented in an educational service district.
And then a district board would be an ESD, though.
Well, no, a district board is your local district.
Well, it says local district and district boards. Are
okay.
These synonymous?
Which page are you looking at? Are you
just
looking at the summary?
We've got it on page 3, section 4. It says each local school, well, actually a committee is the terminology. You've got it in on page 2, line 34, which spoke of administrative school district. And then you have it in...
No. The one on page 2, Representative Roberts, it deals with the zoning area.
Okay.
A zone versus the entire administrative district, and that's the zoning section of the bill.
Okay. There's on page 2, line 6, it speaks of each district board, which would be
school district.
School district, which is a part of an ESD, or could be a part.
Could
of
be
an
a part of an ESD. Wouldn't necessarily have to be.
I just want to get a.
Yeah, there are areas of the state where no educational service district exists.
Which again is dealt with in a part of the governor's proposal on ESDs.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, we seem to have a lot of bills that conflict with other bills, which is not new, but.
Well,
I'm sure you're well aware of that.
Mr. Chairman, I think that may be an indicator of an ongoing attempt in the part of the Oregon Legislature and others who deal with education to try to find a simple, clear way to deal with both administration and finance of all of those various kinds of school levels. And I think it's just an ongoing changing process as we try to find ways to do it better. And I think clearly those of us who have been involved in education, followed it for a long time, know it's a particularly complicated area and has grown more complicated, I think, with the influence in the last few years of the federal government into some of those systems as well. And I think much of this legislation reflects constant attempts to make it better.
Representative Miller.
I'd just like to... follow up, this is maybe a little bit peripheral, on something that Representative McCarty alluded to, and that's the zoning situation in Portland. Have you, as the chief elections officer of this state, given them the benefit of your feeling as to whether or not that'd be a wise policy to break up into zones?
I have, let me be very cautious about this because there is a legal case pending on this, Representative Miller. The Secretary of State's office in both of the current and immediate past administrations have made clear to the Portland School District that we believe they have an obligation legally to place a zoning measure on the ballot in the March election of this year, that a petition has been filed that we believe constitutes a legal requirement to do that. The board has voted not to do that, and we are in some legal proceedings dealing with that difference. In terms of the policy of zoning, I have served on unzoned boards, and I have served on zoned boards, and I have served on a board that was partially zoned and partially at large, which was the Mount Hood Community College Board. I understand why people object to zoning, because it does limit you to some degree in terms of your selection district-wide of the people who are available to serve. I think the ideal circumstance is one where part of the board is elected at large and part is elected by zones. If I were doing it on a policy basis of what I thought was good for a district as large as Portland, that would be my suggestion to them. They have an option, of course, to place a measure of that kind on the ballot as well as the one that the citizens have asked to be placed on the ballot. But with regard to zoning in the matter between the Secretary of State's office and the Portland School Board, the question is not a matter of what I think philosophically or politically or anything else is the best choice. I think in this case it's a legal question of what they must do. But when I talk privately to people in the Portland District about zoning, my suggestion to them has been that if I were making a choice for the City of Portland schools, that I would have looked at a measure that encompassed both some at-large positions and some zoned positions in a district that large.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It has been an honor for this committee.
Jack, to see you, and thank you for your courtesy this morning.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Thank you. Okay,
the next would be Robert Carter. And would you state whether you support or oppose this bill?
Yes, sir. I am opposed to the bill. My name is Robert Carter. I am a director on the Hillsborough Union High School Board. Just like to tell the committee just a bit what happens in Hillsborough. We have in Hillsborough we're not a unified district, so we do have an elementary district. I'm on the high school district. I was elected to the position in 1984. I'm a freshman on the committee, on the board. But I had prepared myself for the past number of years. I spent 4 years on the late curriculum committee learning about curriculum in the high school district, became chairman of that committee and spent 2 years as chairman of that committee. Prior to that, I was on the elementary late curriculum committee. I've also worked in the school district at various capacities, local school committees, because I'm interested in education. I have two children. I have a son now and freshman at Oregon State University, and a daughter who's a sophomore at Glencoe High School in Hillsborough. So I'm interested in what happens to my kids and the education of my kids. Because I'm